I'm here with Ben Ibershoff and Melissa Calhoun, Whippoorwill Festival organizers. Ben, Melissa, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
So I was looking at the Whippoorwill Festival website, and one of the first things that caught my eye was kind of the header on your website. I believe it says Earth-Friendly Living.
It's to promote sustainable living in Appalachia by teaching earth-friendly living skills with
skills.
One another in a joyful, healthy, family-friendly atmosphere. So, yeah, the Skillshare is the heart of the, you know, it's the meat of the festival. And we also have all the perks around a gathering and creating community space with meals included and music at night and lots of discussion time and fire circle chatting and songs and that kind of thing. But yeah, in terms of the Skillshare, we're looking at anything that empowers us to create the kind of life that we want in a culture that's trying to homogenize everyone and also make it so that the things that we really are looking for access to, like clean water and healthy food and play time, storytelling, reclaiming our history and cultural ways that don't get advertised or taught in school.
Sounds like the kind of stuff that keeps us all healthy, mind, body, all of that.
Definitely, right. And the invitation really to teach a workshop is teach what you love. So you don't have to be an expert, you don't have to be a professional, but it's just, you know, it could be your hobby or your daydream that you're exploring. So we encourage people to teach workshops for the first time in their life about, you know, skills that they've acquired in other places or on their own. But we also have lots of extremely experienced folks who come back every year or are finding out about us and coming now. So it's a good blend.
It sounds like a really creative space. Some of the workshops that I was looking at, I recognize. So composting, fire making, natural food production. There are some, though, that I had never seen in my life. Cordage, natural and unnatural, flint napping, spelled like kidnapping, so I don't know what that means, and eco-printing. Can you tell me about some of the more obscure workshops that you do?
Okay.
Cordage is, you know, making rope or string or yarn from fibers of any kind. Like they say, there's natural fibers available for harvest. I know yucca is a popular one, and flint napping is the skill of creating sharp edges off of hard materials like flint or glass. Chert works sometimes, I believe. And it's a, you know, it's a traditional chipping process to be able to get a sharp edge when you don't have grinding materials.
Okay, so that kind of brings me to a question that I had. How can people take these skills that they learn and apply them in our modern lives?
Right. Well, there's a good mix of folks who are maybe not living modern lives that are bringing those skills, and sometimes they're called ancestral skills. But yeah, certainly there are folks who just like to do handiwork, even if they live a kind of modern suburban lifestyle. And so as well as this encouragement for the kid-friendly atmosphere, so lots of kids are stuck without much to do with their hands and except this.
Oh, yeah, texting and it, on the phone.
Yeah, and people too, you know, adults also. We have a lot of anxiety and depression, and it's nice to have good work to do even if you're not trying to make a living. The old Earth Skills gatherings, you know, 100 years ago or more before we had communication technology, it was just the people coming out of the mountains to find each other and see who died and who's, you know, making abundant craft work or hunting skills. And so there's this trade, but also communication. So it's a mix of folks who have never come to anything like this and expect to see people with buckskins and and are surprised to find others that are sort of one person calls it a corporate refugee.
Oh, okay.
She came and found a whole different world, like you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But other people are just coming to enjoy, you know, escape for a little weekend and mm-hmm. Find some different kind of folks.
And for me, you know, the whole context of the festival is one of celebrating curiosity. So even when there's workshops you might take that you may not have interest or really, you know, room to incorporate flint knapping into your life, there's just a sense from all the adults and the children that learning is fun. Learning is what we want to do, and that everyone has skills to share, to teach as well as learn.
How many people are you expecting?
At any given time during the weekend, we probably don't have more than 300 people, but there could be upwards of 450 total. We have about 75 workshops, so, you know, that's 75 instructors or so, plus their people that they bring along. We probably have 20 organizers. We've got hopefully around 60, 70 work traders, which are people that come and work in exchange for pass to the festival and all the meals and everything.
Which is, you know, that whole thing is part of why it was hard to say, are we organizers or what? Because it's such a group involvement atmosphere, and even the organizing is, you know, it's just a self-directed group of people who do the kind of year-round work of getting mm-hmm. it together, but the execution really ends up relying on everybody, along with that same mindset of teaching and learning. You know, it's not just we encourage everyone who's coming to perform to stay for the weekend if they would like. The workshop leaders often attend other workshops, so it's very friendly, and you don't know when you're talking to somebody whether they're an organizer or a musician or a workshop leader or an attendee or a work trader. There's a real sense of we're all here building it together.
I was looking at how the festival came to be. You guys want to talk about how Whippoorwill started?
Yes, I do, because there was this beautiful man, Dave Cooper, who lives in Lexington, and it was his brainchild and baby based on some experiences that he had. So he was working in the corporate world as a civil engineer, got involved in Sierra Club. Through that, met a man who was doing work in West Virginia trying to help families in coal mining fields who were facing environmental destruction and, you know, threats to their life based on landslides and also toxic water. And he got involved with an organization called Mountain Justice. He created Roadshow, where he traveled the country trying to let people know about mountaintop removal, which blew his mind that that was even happening. And he thought no one knew what was happening back in the mid-noughts. And then they amassed a movement of direct action, and volunteers were organizing, going to the coal fields and having training camps there to teach other new activists how to create a blockade. But also they would have such community and gatherings that they were also encouraging folks, especially folks who were coming from outside the region, who had never been to Appalachia, to learn about the history and culture, Appalachian culture, and that included skills like handiwork that maybe wasn't directly related to the actions they were undertaking. And Dave just really loved that aspect combined with the politics and the resistance. And so Whippoorwill has grown from that to become this mix of, yes, there are discussions about what does anarchy mean and who's resisting, but we're also trying to create a culture of resilience and support for one another, because we can't just be fighting the powers. We have to get along, you know, so we have workshops mm-hmm. on communication. We have to take care of ourselves so we can learn, like, self-massage. And so, yeah, thanks to Dave. And Dave, he really did this whole thing for 5 years in Berea. He had an amazing farm spot that the numbers of the festival were growing so large that it needed a new location, and he was overworked and underpaid, and he actually hoped that he would also be bringing a way for people in the Appalachian communities that were historically exploited and extracted from to regain some source of income and livelihood. And so that for him included putting on gatherings.
Ben Ibershoff and Melissa Calhoun, kind of organizers and learners at the Whippoorwill Festival. Thank you for being with me today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.